Han vår ge vår på ge vår kvinnser på. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear a very important lesson, and it's called repentance. It's something we hear often, but we don't fully understand, perhaps. And Christ gives a very strict and a very ominous warning. And he says that you do not know how much time you have left to change your life. You do not know how much time you have left to give good, to do good works, and to give spiritual fruit. And he gives two examples. He talks about people who were killed by Pilate, Pontius Pilate. And then he also says that there are those that died when the tower in Siloam fell down upon them. And he says, they were not more guilty or more sinful than any one of you, but their time was cut short, and you do not know when your time will come. He goes on and he concludes today's gospel reading with a parable about the fig tree. And he says that there's a fig tree and it's not giving fruit. And it hasn't been giving fruit. And so the owner wants to come and cut down the fig tree. It's taking up land, it's taking up resources. There's no need for it to be here. Let's cut it down. And the vine dresser says, no. Let's wait. Let's give it another year. And if in 1 year it doesn't produce any fruit, then we can cut it down. And the owner says, all right. He agrees, and that's what continues. The word repentance, or repent, or penance, all the same word, is very often used throughout the Bible by St. John the Baptist, by Christ himself, by all the saints, and even in our church services, very, very often we say, repent. God, in the Gospel of Mark, in fact, Christ's first words are, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So this idea of repentance, though, for the West, Americans especially, we think repentance or penance has to deal with a punishment. This is where we get the words penalty, penance, penal code, you know, penitentiary. All these things that we have to suffer for something. And there's this very incorrect understanding that repentance means I have to do something horrible. I have to suffer so that God can love me again. I did something wrong, right? I did something wrong. So now in order for God to love me and welcome me back into his kingdom, I have to suffer somehow. I have to have some kind of pain. And this Armenians, for whatever reason, we love doing this during Lent. No, we can't have any meat or dairy products. We can't sing or dance. We can't do this. We don't even receive communion during Lent. We need to suffer. Because that will make God happy with us. This is a completely false understanding of what repentance is. The Armenian word, abash harutyun. For Armenians and for Greeks and for all Eastern Christians, the idea of repentance does not mean you have to suffer, but it means you need to change who you are. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Metanoia. And metanoia literally means changing, meta, to change, noia, your mind, nous, your mind. To change your mind, to change how you think, how you live, how you act. Repentance literally means to change who you are. Not to suffer, but to become better. The Armenian word, abash ha'utun, has the same idea. Ab, the first part, which is a negative prefix, which just means not or don't. Right? And everyone knows the word abush, which means stupid, right? It literally means one who does not have ush, who does not have a mind, who's not attentive to what's going on, okay? Ab, which is negative, and ashharel, which means to cry, to lament, all right? So when we say in Armenian, abashharetse, repent, we are literally saying, don't cry anymore. You did something wrong. Move on. Change who you are. Don't wallow in the past. And we do this, again, Armenians love to do this. We make a mistake, we do something wrong, we stay on that for years, worrying about what we've done wrong and how we can make up for it. But for Armenians, and for Christian Armenians, it literally means don't do that anymore. Don't worry about the past. Worry about the future and what you are going to become. This is why when Christ comes and he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he is literally saying, change who you are so you can be called a Christian, so you can be part of the kingdom of heaven, so that you can welcome me into your life. But you need to change. You can't keep doing what you're doing. There's a story of Satan having a huge meeting with all the little devils, all the little demons. And he says, we have to figure out who is going to be the best among you. And the way we're going to figure that out is we're going to have a contest now. Who can come up with the greatest chapeyutim, trick, the greatest trick? How can we trick the most people in this world into coming to hell? And so all the little demons, they're all excited. They want to be the best, of course. And so they all come forward, and one of them comes up and says, I know what we're going to do. We're going to say that there's no God. And Satan goes, stupid. What are you talking about? Of course there's God. People are not going to believe that. They just need to look outside at nature, at love, at children. They're going to know God exists. You're not going to trick anyone by saying there's no God. Another one comes forward and says, I know what we're going to say. There's no hell. He says, fool, what are you talking about? Of course people believe there's hell. They just need to open the news, turn the news on, and see all the horrible things that are happening in this world. The violence, the atrocities, the tragedies. People believe there's hell. That's not going to trick anybody. And then one little demon from the very far back comes forward and says, I know what we can say. Because what? The little demon says, we're going to say that there's no need to rush, that they have time to repent. He says, ah, you're right. If we tell people there's no rush, they're going to take their time, they're going to push it off, they're going to procrastinate, and we will gain many people in hell by doing that. The truth is, unfortunately, this delusion is amongst all of us. We all think we have time. The reason I know we all think this is because we all have calendars. And we all make plans for the future. And we all say, starting January 1st, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change who I am. Or starting Monday, I'm going to change. Or whatever time we say. But the truth is, we don't know. And the truth is, it can happen now. At this very moment, we can all go. We can all die. And this is not to be morbid, but it is to tell the truth that we need to change now. This is why at the very beginning of the Badarak, at the Divine Liturgy, the priest comes out, he says a prayer to Mary, the Mother of God, and all the saints, and then he turns and he confesses his sins to the people. And a priest or a deacon representing the people responds back, saying that we will pray for you, asking for forgiveness, and the priest responds back to them, to him and to the people, saying, may God give you time to repent, to change who you are, and to do good works, because we don't know how much time we have. So my hope and my prayer and my encouraging word to you today is don't wait. Repent now. Change who you are. Change the things in you that are not Christian. We all have them. Change it now. Because we don't know how much time we have. We don't know when God will be calling us to his kingdom. And we hope and we pray that when he does call us, we can be found worthy of that kingdom. With good works, doing good things, producing spiritual fruits. Because if we don't, just as we hear in the parable today, God will give you one more chance, and then he will cut you down, like the tree, and throw you into the fire. So my advice to you today is repent. Abashkarets. Amen.